Welcome to the Africa Damn Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician, Danny Whitson. We have made it to March, abracadamit. Yes, we have, and it blows my mind how fast 2021 is taking off. It is not waiting on nobody, so hey, if there's something that you're planning on doing this year, get on it now. Don't hesitate. Get on it. I just got back in from doing two shows down in Alabama this weekend. So big shout out to the people, if you're listening, for coming out to the show. It was fun. Nice to meet you all. I love meeting new people. It seems like, though, there's always somebody after a show who tries to show me something on their phone. And I don't know about you, but nothing gives me more high anxiety than some drunk dude standing next to me scrolling through the pictures on his phone. I mean, that's the equivalent of watching a horror movie to where the killer is a picture of a penis. So, yeah, I don't want no pictures of penises jumping out and trying to scare me. So, but yeah, luckily that didn't happen. So, whew. But yeah, maybe next time you want to show something on your phone, maybe like scroll to the pictures in private and then show them the picture you want to show them. We will get right in and say that this episode is brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. That's custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. Now, I've been going to Rosie for over a year now, and she has been working on my sleeve, and we're almost done. And I love her work that she's done on my arm. I get compliments all the time. So I tell you what, if you've ever thought about getting a tattoo, or if you just want to get another tattoo, check out Rosie Tattoos, okay? She gets free constellations online on Facebook Messenger and Instagram, or you can email her at rosietattoo@yahoo.com. Give her a call at 865-281-3451, and she's located at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Rosie Tattoos. Get your tattoo today, your ink therapy today, by Rosie Tattoo. This episode is also brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service. Now, I don't know, guys, you may enjoy doing laundry. I don't. Matter of fact, it's one of the things that I put off the worst. Yes, I'll have a big old pile of laundry just sitting there staring at me. And I tell you what, man, I feel like I got better things to do in my life, and you do too. So let Bob at Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services take care of your laundry needs. All you got to do is just show up, drop off your laundry. Somebody will wash it, dry it, fold it, come back, pick it up, and get on with your life, baby. That's all you got to do at Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services, located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give them a call at 865-951-3237. They're open Monday through Saturday, hours 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and in the evening, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Don't waste your time doing laundry, folks. Take it to Bob's Washboards and let Bob take care of your laundry needs. Okay. Now, today's guest is somebody I met a couple years ago. Very, very funny stand-up comic. And also, man, just an all-around super cool dude, man. This interview, man, one thing I learned about podcasting is that you never know how's it going to click. How's the chemistry going to click in the interview? And man, I feel like I hit it off real good with Brandon. He is a, like I said, a super nice guy and a very funny, funny stand-up comic. He has had a lot of success on TikTok. So if you're on TikTok, you definitely want to check this guy out. But first, abracadamits. Sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with TikTok star and stand-up comedian, Brandon Rainwater. What's happening, Brandon Rainwater? How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely.
Now, it's been a minute since I've seen you, but it looks like you are staying pretty busy.
Yeah, man, I've been fortunate, man. You know, I didn't think this year would be as good as it has been to me, but I've been staying pretty busy, and I'm happy about that.
That's awesome. I tell you what, if you don't mind, go ahead and let the listeners know who you are.
Okay, My name is Brandon Rainwater. You can find me on all social media just as that, Brandon underscore Rainwater. I'm a comic out of the Greenville, South Carolina area. Also, just right here is a little humble brag. I was voted one of the funniest dads you should know on TikTok by Time Magazine. So I gotta throw that out there every now and then, just let them know.
Dude, that is awesome, dude. Well, congratulations on that, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Cause, you know, okay, first of all, dude, I'm trying to figure it out, brother. I'm trying to figure out social media. I'm trying to figure out TikTok. And whenever I see a fellow comic that does figure it out,
that
is awesome. That is.
Yeah, and man.
Like, you're not really like a young buck either. So
no, man, I'm 40. So I'm right there. I'm up there.
Hell yeah, dude. I love it. I love that.
I'm up there. Yeah. I'm up there. See, a lot harder for us.
It is, dude. We're having to learn a whole new game now, you know?
Right. I mean, years ago, probably about 20 years ago in comedy, all you had to do was just be funny. That's not the same anymore. Like, being funny is not enough. They'll be like, yeah, you're funny, but this person is going to pack out the seats. And I was like, okay, I can't just be funny. Let's learn this other stuff.
That was a hard pill to swallow for me because, you know, it takes so long to get good on stage.
Absolutely.
And then when you finally get there, it ain't good enough.
No. Doesn't even matter anymore, man. I've had some of my mentors in comedy, and they telling me about how they've gotten bumped by someone who's, you know, a social media comic who has the following, who can sell out 7 shows, and we're doing everything we can do and happy to see 40 and 60 people at a show. So yeah, it's a totally different game now, man. Totally different game.
That's awesome, dude. I'm excited for you, and I mean, keep killing it on TikTok, brother.
I got you, man.
It's you know, I've had a few other people, comics on here that had a lot of success with social media. Brent Terhune, I just recently had a Rodney Norman on here.
Yes.
You know, Rodney's videos. Hell, he ain't even saying anything.
Yep.
And it just took off. You know, so that's awesome, man. Now let me go back and so like you know, me and you are close to the same age. We've been in the game a while. What got you into comedy? Was it something you always wanted to do?
Well, I always thought I was kind of funny in school. You know, the funny person, you know, you crack some jokes. And the first time I ever said something about it, I was in one of my classes and I said it as a joke. And my teacher says, like, hey, stay out the class. You, Brandon, no joke. You might could actually do it. But I was like, yeah, man, I didn't think anything else about it. Years go by. I'm sitting down at my grandmother's house and on Sunday dinner, what we do as a family, we all get around and my uncle, me, and a couple other guys, we were brick masons. So we all have funny stories to tell. And so when we get around for family dinner, you all tell your funny story with the hopes of your story being funnier than the other person's, you know? So we end there, man, and my uncle was like the reigning champ of all the funny stories. Everybody always wanted to hear his. And I eventually get my stories up to good enough and I'm acting them out. And I'm like, yo, I can't wait. Like, I'm excited about Sunday dinner just so I can tell my jokes and stories. And I get in there and I'm telling it and everybody's like, yo, we got a new champ. You know, we got a new champ. And I tell my grandma, I was like, I'm funnier than him, right? And she was like, yeah, baby, but if you don't do nothing with it, it don't matter. And I was like, oh, crap. So I tried a couple open mics, man. And I am where I am right now. That's how it started.
Dang, that is an awesome story. Yeah. That is. That's an awesome. So your family's brick masons.
Yeah. That's the family trade, man. Like every male has either laid some bricks or at least went out there for a summer or two to try to learn the family trade, man. That's the hardest I've ever worked in my life. I'm not going to joke. That's man's work. And I'm okay with saying that I don't want no part of it if I can help it. You know, I'm good with that.
I could imagine. I bet laying bricks is some tough work. I can't do that.
Oh yeah. And I was the guy that brought, when you first come in, they don't let you lay the bricks or nothing. So you have to be the guy that brings all the work to them, all the bricks, and you're a gopher pretty much, you know? And I understood that, but it's a lot of work. That's all I'm saying. It's a lot of work, and I wasn't expecting that, you know. And child, it was no child labor laws when we started in that. So, you know, you being 8, 9, and 10, you working a 40-hour work week for $25. I was like, I don't think this is right, Granddad. He was like, oh, you don't like the $25? Let me take it. I was like, no, I didn't say take it. I just seen you give my uncle, you know, $200, and I got 25. You know, I don't know where the math is. I just need to know what my hourly wage is so I can know what to expect, man. But yeah, that's the family tradition. We all have to do it at least one summer, man. It's crazy.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. Now, back to your family. Let me ask you this, because this is interesting, and I'm sure you probably get asked this a whole lot, okay? Mm-hmm. Your last name, is that your real name? Or is that a stage name?
No, that is 100% my full name. Rainwater is my name. That's why I don't go by a stage name. I feel like that's unique enough. So I go by yes, sir.
What is it? Is it Native American?
Yeah, okay, I've heard two stories. I've heard from a Native American person that it is Native American. I've also researched it and found it to be Native American, also German. So I guess it just depends on who I'm talking to and which it will be. For today, since I seem like it'll be more interesting, I'm Native American.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that one.
I like it. You're right, because it is catchy. And at first, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, I wonder if that's a stage name or if that's, you know, that's his real last name. So,
I've had to show my ID to prove that it's my real last name before, because people were like, no, that's not. I'm like, that is really my last name, Rainwater.
That is a dope-ass last name, Rainwater.
I love it. Thanks, man.
So now let me ask you this. How long were you doing TikTok before COVID, or was it the COVID thing?
Before COVID, I maybe had posted like 4 TikToks, because I, like you, like most adults, I was like, man, I'm not getting into this. It's for the kids. I initially just got it because my little girl had it, just to like check and make sure she's behaving on it. And once this COVID hit around March of last year, I just started posting little videos and stuff that my daughter would do. She would do stuff at night. So I would get up and commentate on what she did the night before. And it kind of just, people liked it. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I'll continue to do it.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, when COVID hit, you know, a lot of entertainers were kind of scattered, not knowing what to do. And, you know, I don't know if you've done any shows virtually.
Oh yeah. Zoom,
but you know, it can be, first of all, it's almost impossible to read an audience.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot different.
It's a lot different, man.
A lot different.
And, like I said, you know, I have an idea floating around. This was before COVID actually, about what I kind of wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, it kind of put a damper on that too. But hopefully I'll be able to get some creativity videos out there myself. But absolutely. You're right, it's something that you got to do, you know. And it's way to put butts in the seats these days. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and that was the thing, man. When I started doing it, I was like, I was doing one video a day, and it was like, okay, cool. It is what it is. You know, I'll just do this until something happens. And then the videos kept getting more popular and more popular, till people was like, hey man, you got a series. We're looking for the next episode in the series. I was like, this is a series? And like, I didn't even, you know, I wasn't thinking like that. I'm thinking I'm just posting something funny. But for the people who follow you, it's like, yo, we love your series of your what today and what you did with your daughter. We love your series. We love your series. And I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, during the pandemic, I kind of just dug in. I was like, all right, Brandon, let's see what's behind us. And like, I've got a couple of cool things and opportunities come out of it that I probably would have never got if I wasn't posting so much on TikTok. Like I mentioned earlier, the Time magazine reached out to me and it was like, hey, man, we would love to write you up as one of the funniest dads on TikTok who people need to know. I was like, cool. People magazine reached out to me. They posted something. It was cool. DL Hughley shared one of my video posts. And so this is when I found out the difference between going viral and getting a lot of views. And I know that sounds like something that everyone know, but I really didn't understand the difference of the first time I went viral was off of TikTok. And the video had like 6 million views on TikTok, but it transferred over to Facebook and Instagram on other mainstream devices and mainstream accounts from other celebrities without me sharing it. So I was like, yo, I didn't share this to DL Hughley. Yo, I didn't share this to Earthquake. Yo, I didn't share this to these people. And it just kept boom, boom, boom on Baller Alert. And I was like, man, this is crazy. So it's been a fun ride, man.
That is the difference. So that's the difference between just getting a lot of views. You'll be on the same platform, but going viral, you spread everywhere.
Yeah, people, like you said, people who you don't even know, people catch it, and it's other famous people sharing it and everything. So, like, I would look on, like, someone else's page. I posted it on my Instagram, which is funny. Only got, 10,000 views, you know, which is good. But I'm saying it's great.
Brady's like, only 10,000 views.
Like, that's good. But I would look at people like DL Hughley or somebody who shared my video. They would have a 500,000. And I'm like, yo, which was a great ride, man. I had so many people. I gained like an extra 2,000 followers on Instagram, which I need. Instagram is so hard to crack. I haven't cracked that one yet. It's hard.
It is tough. It is tough.
It's tough, man.
Social media in general. There's times, man, that I get sick of social media. Mm-hmm. Like and as an entertainer, I guess you get a love-hate relationship with it. You know,
you got to, because, man, like we was mentioning earlier, man. Like, people ask me a lot of times, like, hey, what are your comedy goals? What do you want to get out of doing this and that and us? The whole purpose of doing the TikToks and the Instagram and Facebook is to grow an audience of people who want to come out and see my type of comedy, and will come out there, and you have the ability to see, like, I'm gonna say, like, Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle doesn't have to be funny as soon as he hits the stage. He can take his time, he can tell you a story, and you're his fan, so you'll go along with the ride. Brandon Rainwater has to be funny from the second he steps on stage, because I don't have that. You're not gonna wait for me to get funny. You're gonna lose interest in me. So I'm not saying that I won't continue to try to be as funny, but it's just a different luxury when people are there to see you. They're gonna go along with the ride and wait for you, because they say, hey, we know what this guy got to bring. And that's what the whole purpose of why right now you have to do social media to get those people in there, to have the clubs and places reach out to you and say, hey, we know this guy gonna bring people, and he's gonna bring, you know, his talent as well.
That is so 100% correct. And the only place where I get that luxury right now, Brandon, is here when I do my hometown show.
Yeah.
When I do my hometown show, it's my game. I don't have to jump out and prove myself. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But on the road, brother, I got to get in there and punch them in the mouth as fast as I can.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to have that luxury on the road. You know,
right. And that's the thing. I always look when I look at other comics, man, and ones that have truly, truly made it. And I'm like, hey, it's some comics who I've seen. Not saying those comics that's on TV and stuff aren't funny, but, you know, you see some comics who you may see at an open mic or feature for or whatever, and they got punchline after punchline after punchline after punchline, because you have to. You know, they're not going to wait for us to tell, you know, 2-minute story before you hit the first punchline. They're going to be like, okay, I'm done with Brandon, looking in their phones, and you're never going to get them back. I'm just looking forward to the day that I'll be able to get out there in front of people. And I'm still planning on being funny, but you're going to be riding that wave with me the whole time. And if it's a part where I want to go longer with the story just to give you more detail, you're still like, oh my gosh, Brandon, I'm here. Let's hear more. And not like, all right, Brandon, click. Turn the TV off. I'll see you later.
That's so true too, man. And I hope, well, I mean, you got to be somewhat there, you know? So like I said, you got your TikTok following. So hopefully you'll be able to get to experiment and play around like that. But, and I agree with you, you know, and I don't think, do you think that, like, I mean, with an exception of Dave Chappelle, okay. Yeah. Take other comics that have had that luxury, but then they step away for a while, that luxury doesn't always stay, you know?
Yeah.
You can lose that. you know?
Yeah. You know, out of sight, out of mind type thing.
Absolutely.
Out of sight, out of mind quickly. Amy Schumer, she called it kind of rough. Like, she had that luxury. When she came back and made her special, a lot of people were just like, nope, we're not feeling it. We haven't seen you. We haven't done nothing in a while. They weren't feeling it, you know?
And, you know, with Amy Schumer, okay, I'm going to be honest. Her first special was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she got some, I don't want to say passes, but she was over the top raunchy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then by the time she's cranking out that second or third special, okay, we done heard the titty jokes. We done heard the JJ jokes.
Yeah.
You know, you need to bring something back out to on the table.
Yeah.
She didn't do that.
A little more, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So to me, now the thing with Dave Chappelle, what just super impressed me is he took all that time off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how that goes. You know, you take time off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get rusty quick.
Quick.
And he came back with special after special after special. And every time it was a home run.
Yeah, and man. It's crazy.
I've been saying this for a long time. Like, you know, me and you, we come back. We got to see people like Eddie Murphy, George Carlin.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Pryor in his later days, you know.
Oh, yeah. Love Pryor.
You know, the Kings. You know,
mm-hmm.
and these guys were good enough to crank out multiple specials,
which is not easy.
No, it is not easy. Now, we live in an era, though, to where any old comic can crank out multiple specials. And let's be honest, everybody isn't Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy or George Carlin.
Not at all.
You got a. I think you've got some great specials, and then you got a lot of mediocre comedy out there, with an exception of Dave Chappelle.
Right, and I think that's speaking of specials, I think that's something that, at least in my opinion, a lot of comics rush to do. And I've told them, and I haven't been in comedy long enough to like give too much advice, but I tell them, I was like, hey man, there's no need to rush for that. Don't do a special just because you want to do a special. Do a special when everyone is saying, hey man, do you have anything else longer I can listen to? Hey man, I would love to hear you do this. Hey man, I love that set, blah, blah, blah. I said, you will know in there, you know, I was like, you know, I probably can do one, but I don't feel like it's enough people out there who just saying, oh my gosh, you know, and it might be, but in my head, I'm like, I still don't want to release it yet. Because once those jokes are out there on that special, once it's on that TV, I'm not saying you can't do those jokes anymore, but those jokes are everybody's then. You know, so I'm in no rush to put a quote unquote Brandon special out there, but kudos to everyone who's ready and can do it. You know,
see, I'm in a weird place because I'm at the point to where I'm tired of telling, and I'm sure you are too. I know you got bits and jokes that you're sick of telling.
Yeah.
But I'll go to a place that's never heard them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
You got to tell those hits that they've never heard.
Right.
And now I like one silver lining I'll say that I got out of this, the COVID, is I've got a pretty solid new hour.
Awesome. And
it's going into direction of where I've kind of wanted to go. But the only downside is, you know, as I do, you still got to work everything out on stage.
You got to work it out on stage. And it's a difference. The way that I do stand up on my Zoom shows, and I found a way to still make it as funny, but it's not the same as when I do stand up. You know, just like it's not the same as when I'm emceeing a show compared to where I'm featuring or when I'm headlining. It's just all of it is a different way of being funny for each different time. You know, like on a podcast or whatever, like how we're doing now, you know, I realized that not only do I want to get what we're saying, but everything don't have to be a funny phrase, everything you say. So it's just different. You know, so yeah, it's definitely different, man.
It's different. And, you know, I've got a show coming up this Friday. By the time this airs, it'll done past. But
yeah.
A lot of times, like, I'm bringing some new material, doing some new material. And just because I'm like, I've just got to. I got to do something new. I'm going to squeeze the new in between the old in case the new sucks. You know what I mean?
That's the right way to do it.
But I'm like, I'm going to hate myself if I leave and I don't do just at least one of the new things, you know?
Right. That's it. And there's certain jokes that are my favorite. And I'm like, you guys have been such a good crowd. You got to hear this old joke because it's hilarious. And everyone that hears this joke says it's hilarious. So guess what, guys? You're going to get it. So, yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Especially if it's a good crowd, too. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It's one of those good, those fun crowds. You get a chance to play and experiment. And then you want to give them the hits, too. I want you guys to have a good time. I really want you.
Yeah. One of those crowds that I say where the laughter carries over to the next joke and punchline. I love those because, you know, every now and then you get those crowds where they only laugh for the punchline. And you're like, oh, that's good. It's like, yeah, you're laughing where you're supposed to laugh, which I cannot be mad. But it's so much better when they laugh at the punchline and ride that wave on to the next joke that's building.
I always call those other type of crowds, as I say, it's like they were like pulling teeth tonight.
You would get them
laugh. They would laugh and then shut up, you know? Shut up. Yep. And then laugh and shut up. Like, man, I want you to keep it going, you know?
Yeah, embarrassed to laugh, man. And I don't be getting it. I'm like, guys, you know, you guys know it's okay to just continue to laugh. All the ones who don't laugh, and after the show, they're like, hey, man, you were so funny. I seen you the whole time in the crowd. You were just decided you weren't going to laugh. Oh, man, but you was funny, though. I was like.
Don't you hate that, dude? You're like, you know, you didn't even crack a smile. I saw you in the front row, and then you want to come up to me after the show and tell me how funny I was.
Oh, yeah. It's weird, man. And so now I'm just like, you know what? If that happens, I'll just try to look away from that person and keep. But you know what's coming? We always find that one person that's like that in the audience. It could be 4,000 people there. We will find the one person that's not laughing and not like they're having a good time. You're like, why aren't you laughing?
That'll what's wrong with you? Yeah. I used to, back in the day, we used to have Side Splitters Comedy Club in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that's where I started. You know, I emceed there. I was one of the house MCs. And I would be up there doing my jokes, and all it would take is just that one person, and I laugh. Mm-hmm. And I would come home, and I tell my wife, I'm like, and that one person, what's their problem? How come they don't like me? You know,
it's always one, man. I never get why they even came out. And I say you have to, you know, in some areas it's not like that as much, but sometime in the areas that I'm in, a lot of the audience members are first timers ever coming to a comedy club. So they haven't been trained in the proper way to act at a comedy club, to let them know, hey, it's no embarrassment and laugh, you know, just laugh, have a good time, you know. So it's an MC, and I know you've probably been at shows where you've MC'd for a famous comic or a celebrity comic, and they come out there and they just be like, well, how's everybody doing? Like, oh my God, she's hilarious. I can't believe you asked us how we doing. You're like, no way. I just gave you my best jokes.
Don't you? They used to bug me, man, because I remember the first time I experienced that right there, what you're talking about, because I was sitting there working hard on my jokes. Yeah. And I'm going to make them laugh. They're going to like me. And I get up there and I tell my jokes. And then headliner walks up there and just says, you know, something not funny at all. You know, they dying pissing their pants.
Yep. And another thing that kind of gets them that I hate when I have to do when the crowd is too stiff or whatever. And I have to pull out one of what I call my heavy jokes. This is a sure laugh. I have to pull out that one earlier than I want to. I was like, I didn't want to give you guys that joke until I was 5 minutes into the set. Now, the way that you acting, I got to give it to you 2 minutes in the set. And I don't know what I have to follow that up, because that's going to be good. But now you're messing up my rhythm. And it's just, you know, yeah, it's weird, man. But it's still, you know, I still enjoy it. But it is weird sometimes.
Well, you're definitely, man, you are a funny mofo. You are a great comic.
Definitely. And appreciate it.
You know, and I think it's good. I'm from the old school way. The way you're from is, I'm so, so grateful for my opportunities that I got at the club to MC, because, you know, emceeing a comedy show is like comedy college.
Oh yeah, 100% agree with that.
You learn 100%. So much, you know.
Yeah, I think that's when I got better, when I started emceeing more. I agree with you.
Well, there was a rule. Now I don't know how they did at Comedy Zone, but the rule at Side Splitters is the GM she wouldn't. We had to be clean.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and you know how difficult it is to be clean in your early days.
Oh yeah, I wasn't always clean. I'm clean now, but my early days, I was horrible, man. Like any curse word I could think of to get out my mouth, I couldn't get it out my mouth fast enough.
So I mean, and I'll never forget this though. Now, keep in mind, I'm not Captain Clean now with my act, but I'm not super dirty either. I'm not dirty either.
It's a nice medium.
But I'll never forget the late great Spanky Brown. I don't know if you ever met
Spanky. Oh yeah, I've seen Spanky Brown perform a couple of times. Got a couple of chances to perform with him. Very nice, very funny guy.
Spanky was God rest his soul. He was a mentor to me, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget Spanky telling me this one night. He says the problem with new comics is that they don't know how to cuss.
Bingo.
And that made so much sense to me because, you know, like a new comic will start out and nervously drop an F-bomb here or say things because he doesn't have the material, dead time, you know. And it really made me think. And then there's times I would test out punchlines with, well, is it funnier if I say this or is it funnier if do I have to say a cuss word? Do I not have to say it? So he really had me analyze him and kind of look. And Spanky was a pretty clean comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, stuff like that, just being in a club, being around comics, doing that structure, I think helps out so much, which Knoxville doesn't have a comedy club right now, man.
And I know, that's crazy.
It is crazy. And I eventually, this may be years and years, I would like to open my own venue.
Oh, that'd be dope, man. You got to go where the need is needed, you know, and if it's needed, you know, and help build that comedy scene up because every comedy scene needs a premier venue where they can say, hey, I'm working to get here, and that venue takes in the comics and help them get that extra attention that's needed.
Absolutely. I mean, now I do book the Grove Theater here in town.
Okay.
And it's which definitely we got to get you out there, by the way.
Absolutely. I would love the opportunity, man.
We've been booking that for over probably 7 years now, man. Ooh. Which is crazy. And we've had all kinds of comics come through, you know, and do it. It's a small theater, so it's still got an intimate feeling, you know, mm-hmm. almost like a club. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the other thing I like about it, just like a club, people are there to see you. You know?
There you go. They're there for comedy. They know why they're there. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but I mean, yeah, I'm a fan of the comedy club structure, and I think it teaches people. And I even now, even though things have been kind of, you know, crazy, like with COVID, but some of the newer comics around here, like I'm an old dog around here. They some of them know me, and then some of them like, who, you know?
Who, yeah.
But, you know, I try to give them opportunities to MC, you know.
Yeah, you and MCing is like I started MCing at Comedy Zone every Thursday. I did it for like a year and 2 years, and like it helped me polish and get so comfortable in front of a crowd that, you know, people are like, man, you're not nervous anymore. I was like, no, I was like, because it's, I already know when I get on stage, it's going to click. And it helps you get comfortable. It helps you read people. It's a whole bunch of let you like get in a rhythm of what to do with certain crowds, what to do with certain people. So when I got the opportunity to start hosting more on the weekends for bigger shows, it was just like, cool, this is no different. I'm ready. Put me out there and you're good. And then, like I said, I told comics that a lot that, hey, when you go out there and you're hosting, come for me, I was like, I would like it if you, I understand you can't keep 100% clean, but I would like it if you keep a little clean. And one of the first times I ever did an open mic was at Comedy House in Columbia. And they didn't let us curse, you know. And I asked them later on, I said, what's the purpose of that? They said, because if it's going to be anything filthy or dirty or curse words, you don't get the right to introduce the crowd to that first. That's the headliner than the feature job. They need to be the first people to introduce that style of comedy because it's going to hit even harder for them. And so that's why I tell people who come in and, you know, and I let them MC or stuff at the clubs that I'm at. I say, hey, man, if you don't mind, I'm not telling you to be squeaky clean, but, you know, and I do clean. I don't expect anyone else to be like, oh, if you don't mind, you know, you better do it as clean as I am. I'm like, well, hey, you know, don't take them too dirty, you know, because that's a, you know, you're grown. We all know the crowd, have heard it before. But if you take it too dirty, that's what the audience wants to hear. And, you know, I'm not saying they won't laugh because you can still get them back up there, but you put their mindset in a particular place. And it's a whole lot harder, man. It's a whole 100, lot harder.
100%, 100% agree. The, especially if you are a clean comic, I would think you would want a clean opener.
I do. If I'm headlining the show and I'm not the feature, I tell my openers, hey man, you got to be clean because, you know, I'm not saying these people aren't coming out here to see me, but for the 4 or 5 in the audience that may be here to see me, I need you to clean it up. And it scares a lot of comics. A lot of comics act like when you say do clean, like you're asking them for their credit report and their firstborn. They're like, oh, you want me to do clean?
Like, you don't want to see a comic's credit report.
right. Trust me. I seen mine and it is not that pretty. It is not. There's no jokes in that.
You know, what's crazy for me is, you know, I started out street performing, doing magic shows before stand up. Mm-hmm. And so the time whenever I got into the comedy club, I was already comfortable in front of an audience.
Yeah.
But I had this, there's like a aura with magicians, that working magicians, that there's a prudeness. It's almost like you got to be clean. If you're a magician, you got to be clean, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of hated that. You know, mm-hmm. I hated that because so much was just, I was like, well, how come I can't talk about this? Or how come I can't say this? So when I first was trying to meld my act, the magic and the stand-up together, which took me a while, by the way, because that's not an easy thing to
I was just going to say that's not easy. That's a nice combo. I like that.
What I tell people with that, I said, the reason why that's hard, it was hard to make that work at first, is because, in my opinion, I think good stand-up is telling the truth and good magic is bullshit. So
that makes sense. That makes that makes 100% sense when you put it that way.
Like in my show, when I'm doing my bits, I'm telling the truth. But when the magic breakouts, bro, I'm lying my ass off. So I feel like I may have went a little overboard, dirty with the magic, you know, for a little while, just to kind of almost like a rebel for me.
Okay.
But then, as you want to work, when you start thinking, hey, I want to do this for a living, and I want to, you do have to clean some things up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what I learned. You're going to work a lot more the cleaner you are.
You do, man. And I actually went clean by accident. I know that sounds crazy. I got booked on a show and they was like, hey, it was cookies and comedy. And I was like, hey, Brandon, can you do 10 minutes of clean? And that was when I first started. And I was like, yeah, 10 minutes. I can write 10 minutes of clean. I can do that. So I did 10 minutes of clean. That was on like a Tuesday. And that Wednesday, I ended up having another show. And they was like, hey, it's kids in the audience. So if you guys can be a little cleaner, be awesome. And I was like, cool. I'll do the same set I did from there. And I ended up going to another place that weekend. It was about the same thing. So by the time that weekend had went by, someone reached back out to me and said, hey, Brandon, I heard you do clean. I got a show. So I was like, okay, cool. So, and a couple of other comics, Tom Emmons, a couple other one had like, Jessica Is All Good from Atlanta. They was like, you should stick with clean, Brandon. You'll get more opportunities. And it's like, you're clean. It's to me, you're clean is funnier. And I was like, all right, cool. So I just stuck with it, man. And just, you know, I enjoy the lane that I'm in, you know, and I don't try to change anyone else's lane. A lot of comics come to me and they'd be like, man, you think I should do clean? I was like, you should be funny. And go from there. I don't care how you do it. If you want to be clean, be clean. If you want to say every curse word that comes to your mind, whatever. And just the first thing you need to be is funny and everything else will line up. I was like, I started doing clean for different reasons and it happens to work for me. I can't force what works for me on you. So, but I enjoy the lane that I'm in, you know?
That is so true because, you know, I was always told the three rules of comedy is number one, be funny. Number two, try to say yes as much as you can.
Absolutely.
And number three, don't be an ass.
There you go. Those three.
So, but I mean, and that's right. Cause I mean, I think it, as long as you're true to yourself and you be who you are, you're going to be fine. And, you know, it, like I said, even to this day, like, you know, sorry, that's my cat Doris.
Yeah. I locked mine now. I actually have a cat too. And she can't stand to see doors closed. I didn't know it was a cat thing, but cats hate closed doors. My cat will bust in like a bank rob. Boom! Who closed that door? Like nobody. Just go calm down.
The good thing about cats, man, is that you can write good bits about them. So
absolutely, man. Absolutely. I had a lot of bits about my dog and dogs and stuff, but now I was like, I got to start writing some bits about this cat that I got that I try to talk to and treat like a dog, but cats are not dogs. No. And I know that's I know that seems easy. Like I'll talk to my cat and she'll look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, hey, will you go upstairs and get out of my way? And they'll look at me like a upset woman with a kid that spilled something in the back seat. And I don't know how I feel about that.
But you know what's crazy is Doris thinks this where I have, you know, the podcast studio set up, my downstairs, and used to be my little man cave. Mm-hmm, but now Doris comes down here and she thinks this is her place.
Absolutely. So
she's up here like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you think you're doing.
Like, what's going on here? You mind if I knock some of this stuff down? Like, I actually do. My cat would step on my keyboard and have my computer screen doing all type of stuff. You know how embarrassing it is to have to call IT and tell them, hey, I don't know what my computer is doing. Like, when is the last time it worked correctly? Before my cat jumped on the keyboard. So I need you guys to point me in the right direction somewhere. So I definitely feel your pain, man.
Now, okay, let me ask you about, I like Greenville, South Carolina, man. That's a nice little town.
It is.
Last time I was in that area, you guys got the best beef jerky ever.
And oh, we do have places that just sell beef jerky, which is nice. We have a couple places like that. Super nice.
So I really like the town. And it's a pretty solid comedy scene there in Greenville.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. We don't have a lot of mentors in the area, like most scenes have. I've kind of like unofficially started trying to help out and kind of mentor. And I've only been doing comedy now for like 5 years. So I'm not as established as most mentors are. My mentors was Tom Emmons, you know, like he pointed me and told me a lot of things that he just, you know, say, hey man, you should try this. Hey man, you should do that. That's the only thing that we got a good comedy scene, but we lack enough mentors in here for comics to say, okay, this is the way it should be. Okay, this is someone I can say, he's doing this, he's doing that. This is reachable from this comedy scene. So we just have, you know, a lot of, like most places, we have a mentor and they'll move out or something. They'll move to a bigger area. It's fine, I understand that. But now I'm like, hey guys, with social media, with the internet, Atlanta's 2 hours, you know, down the road, you don't necessarily have to move at the stage that we're at. You know, once you get to the stage where you have to move, someone's going to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, come with me and move. You know, until then, you know, I also want to say, I like my area. I like where I'm at. And I want to see the comedy scene grow even more. The more people who in your area where they say, oh my gosh, this person's funny. That person's funny. This person's funny. The more notice that area is going to get, the more people are going to come to the area for that. It's just like in sports, everybody says, oh, everybody in Florida is fast. It might not be true, but enough people have came out that area to now it's true. So if you have enough people come out Greenville, South Carolina, that's that's funny and they're killing it and it spreads, they're like, oh my gosh, every comic in Greenville is funny. And I feel like something good happened, but I don't think that can happen until we get more mentors in the area.
You know, that's interesting. At one time, Knoxville was, we were loaded. My, and, mm-hmm. and I kind of, I'm talking about my day, you know, my day starting out, you know, I feel like we were loaded with talent back in the day. Mm-hmm. And we got some good talent right now. From what I've seen, the funniest comic, what is her name? Rowan Young in Knoxville. Okay. She is probably the funniest up and coming, you know, young comic starting out in the scene right now. She is fantastic. But I mean, I don't know a lot of the
But you know what caught your eye when you do that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So, now I'll tell you a town that is like that. That the first time have you done any work in Nashville out at Zany's?
Oh, I haven't been to Zany's. I went to Nashville one time and I was just passing through and I did like two clubs there everyone keeps saying, man, you need to go to Zany's.
Yeah. Zany's, okay, I'll never forget the first showcase show I ever did at Zany's because, you know, Zany's would do a lot of like the comedy all-stars and stuff like that. And you're up there with some super talent, talent. And it's the first one I ever did, it was like home run derby for jokes, brother. It was so great. The guy before you would go up and just kill, you know, and then you're like, oh man, I hope I belong here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've been like that one time when I went to Atlanta when I first started. I thought I was killing it, man. And I went down there to Atlanta and everybody was Brandon Rainwater's or Beth, you know. And I was like, man, but I'm funny. I'm one of the top ones back home. But it was good. It was good to get your butt spanked a little bit. It made me come home and write a little more and dig in a little more because I was like, I thought I was doing good, but it's some guys down there who would surely put some laughs on you, man. And, you know, every comic got a little ego.
Well, Zany's is great though, man. You definitely got to get out there on one of them shows. I know you would kill it. They would love you. Lucy would love you out there. It'd be great. Now in Greenville though, like I said, since you've kind of built this TikTok following, are you kind of getting a little notice there in town through TikTok?
Yeah, man, it's kind of strange. I had to kind of get used to it. I was walking through the mall the other day with another comic. He had came down and he was like, hey man, let's pass some time. And we're walking through the mall and one of the people at the shoe places that like give you the spray to clean your shoes and stuff, right? So the guy's waving for me to come over there. And I was like, nah, man, I'm good. No, thank you. We don't need it. He was like, no, man, I follow you on TikTok. You're hilarious. I'm on the phone with my wife. I told her I seen you. Can I take a picture with you? And will you say hey to her on FaceTime right quick? I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I did not know. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I did not know that's what you wanted. I feel horrible about that. So, boom, I take the picture with him, man, and we do that. I was at a club in Myrtle Beach doing a show and the cook comes out. Man, I don't know where that is. I'm sorry, man. My signal keeps going out. Sorry, apologies. So the cook comes out the kitchen and he's like, hey, man, will you please take a picture with me right quick? I want to just show it to my wife. She said she knows you. She's seen your picture and said that you follow. She follows you on TikTok and you're so funny. So that just kind of like blew my mind. So yeah, man. So the Myrtle Beach thing happened, which was crazy. And my daughter was probably the first person who kind of let me know. She says, hey dad, she comes to my room and she says, dad, will you please tell these people that you're my dad? I was like, I'm her dad. And she showed up like, oh my gosh, we follow you on TikTok. Like, you're TikTok famous. I was like, what's TikTok famous compared to regular famous? It was like, well, I mean, like, everybody on TikTok know you. And I was like, oh. So it's different levels of famous. And that's another thing, man. That's another thing. It's different levels of famous. I know a comic who got, like, millions of followers on Facebook and Instagram. Millions. And I'm fortunate enough he lets me tour with him sometimes. And he says, man, I've been on social media now for years, and can go out anywhere and not get recognized usually. He said, dude, I got on TikTok, been on there for 6 months. And he says, I cannot go anywhere without people saying, oh my gosh, I know you from TikTok. Cause it's the young, you know, it's the younger kids, the people that share it, man. But I mean, it don't happen a lot, but it's happened enough times. I was doing a comedy show a couple of weeks ago at Comedy Zone in Greenville, and a guy was like, hey man, what's up? Mind if I get a quick picture? I follow you on TikTok. And I was like, yo, this is, you know, it happens just enough for me to be like, wow, it happens. You know, nothing crazy, but, you know, 190,000 some followers doesn't sound like a lot, but I guess, because when you see somebody with millions, you're like, oh man, that ain't nothing. But it's enough.
Oh, yeah.
It's enough.
Yeah. I take it.
Right. And I tell people all the time, man, they're like, man, is it anything that I could do it? I was like, man, be a little lucky. That's all I can tell you. Be a little lucky, and timing is everything. I was like, I got to say that I think I put off good content, and, you know, to having a, and the thing that I've learned that once you get those type of people, you go away from having followers to having fans. You know, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that, you know, a fan will stay there and they're there for you because they've become invested in you. Yeah, of course, they enjoy your funny and everything, but they're like, oh, my gosh, we're here for whatever Brandon has going on. We want to be a part of it. And that's probably the most awesome thing that I've gotten out of this ride that I've been on so far this last year and going on to this year.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Now, let me ask you, you don't do political stuff, correct?
You're not
a political comic.
No, sir. No, I stay strictly family friendly. I'm clean and clean content. And I realized that was a difference. I didn't know there was a difference until another comic told me. He was like, wow, man, you clean and clean content. So I don't even talk about, you know, anything sexual or nothing. It wasn't done on purpose. When I heard clean, I thought I couldn't talk about anything. So I went that way, you know, so doesn't mean that I think anything crazy, but that's it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because here on the Abracadam, Brandon Rainwater, we got to ask tough questions.
Go ahead and ask away.
All right. Let's say if you was trapped in a Taco Bell.
Okay.
And was starving.
All right.
And you had one burrito, and you had to share that burrito with one U.S. president, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh, man, I got to go with Obama, man. And the reason why, forget everything, because I know first thing people say, oh, you share him because he's black. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be about 10 to 15% of it. The other reason why is because Obama had a basketball goal installed at the White House. Anyone who has a basketball goal installed at the White House and sneaks out to smoke cigarettes sounds like a person who slips up and says some things they probably shouldn't say and be cool to hang out with. So I'm with it. I got to hang out with him for a minute.
So you share a burrito with Obama then?
I share a burrito with him, man.
There we go. He might tell some cool stories, man.
I know he's got some cool stories, man. I know he just have to be in there, just finally let him get to be himself, and he'll be like, boom, cool story. And I'm like, wow.
I didn't know Obama smoked. Did he? He smoked cigarettes?
Yeah, he smoked cigarettes, man. See?
Now, hold on. How black is Barack Obama? What brand of cigarettes did he smoke?
See, I don't know if he smoked Newports or not. Okay, the only thing that could make you make him more black than smoking Newports is if he smoked Black and Miles. You know what I'm saying? If Obama was sitting out in the back of the White House and before a game, like, hey, you guys want to get a game in? And smoking, you know, some Black and Miles, I'm like, man, Obama is probably the blackest president, you know, we've ever had. And like, I kid people about that all the time, man. I was like, yo, man, Obama was at work black, you know? He was at work black, you know, and people would listen. And Trump was the other black. He's like, oh, man, we can't act like that all the time. What is wrong with you? So it's two different type of – Obama was at work black, which was fine and cool. You like, you never seen him say or do anything. He acted one way. But as soon as he got in the car, you know, he might slip. But I'm just saying. I think Obama got some cool stories, man. I could be wrong.
That would be cool. I bet you're right. I bet you're right. And
he's got to, man.
I don't know, man. That's a gig I would never want. I would never want that gig.
No. I don't. What's Kanye West song say? No one man should have all that power. I don't want any of it. I don't want that.
The crazy thing about Kanye, first of all, man, you know, in Tennessee, they love some Kanye West, brother. They really love him.
Would have never in a million years guessed you would say Tennessee would be the place they love him, man.
They love him. Like when he came to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and I mean, people were just going crazy. Not to do a concert, he was coming to preach, you know. And
never would have guessed that in a million years, man.
A lot of people, you know, make fun of Kanye and say a lot of things. But
yeah,
to me, when I look at the when I look at the artist of Kanye West,
absolutely,
he is absolutely he's amazing.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I was talking about Kanye and Kanye, Drake, even Cardi B. I was like, man, listen, whether or not you like their music, from like an artist standpoint, to have the ability to always find out what people like. That's what like a comic told me one time. He's like, man, you know how crazy it is to be a comic, because you're getting on stage and you're telling people, I know what's funny better than you know what's funny. And you got a certain amount of time to convince them of that. So I was like, yeah, and it's the same thing with music. You're telling them, hey, I know what's good music better than you know what's good music. Now listen to this. And so any type of, you know, thing like that, man, is, you know, I'm just like, it's amazing.
That is so true. Also, you know, also with Drake, I try to, and I know Drake isn't new music anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I try not to be stuck just like into my 90s stuff that I grew up listening to.
It's hard not to get stuck in the 90s though, right?
It's hard, man, because music was better in the 90s. But I try to listen to other stuff, and like, I'm a fan of Drake, you know, I listen to some of these things and I'm like, man, this, you know, all right, I can get on board with this. But you're right. Drake's like, guess what? You don't think you're going to like me, but yes, you are. You're going to like
me. You got to, man. I wasn't even a big fan of his, like, his first two songs. I used to pick at people who listened to it. And then now I'm like, man, that new Drake song is nice. I'm like, this new song is nice. Like, I just realized how out of date I am when it comes to music. Like how you said, I try not to be stuck in the early 90s and stuff, but my son puts me on a lot of new music. I was like, oh, I didn't know. He's like, dad, you just not listen to that? I was like, if it don't come on radio station, I don't hear it. And I was like, man, that sounds old. I like to think I'm more hip than my parents were, you know, and everything in my head I am. But then I'll find myself saying some stuff that shows my age, and I'm looking at my son like he's the one that's out of whack, but it's me.
Yeah.
Like, nobody don't listen to that hippity. I was like, don't say it.
Dude, I just saw a meme today that said that if they were to make Back to the Future today and he would have went back in time, the equivalent to now than when it was in the original would be 1991.
Dude, that's crazy, bro.
he would be playing Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That would be so crazy. See, I didn't even... Oh, man, that's crazy.
That's 30 years ago. So I was just like, man. Whoa. I mean, it's stuff like that, when you just don't even think about it. And you're like, man, I just can't believe it's been that long.
You know? What blows my mind even more about those shows was like how far off we thought 2020 was. I was like, oh my gosh, the year 2020, that's forever.
Yeah. I thought they would be, I don't know if anybody could really, you know, call it. I mean, we all thought they'd be flying cars or
absolutely
some super crazy stuff. Now, granted, me and you were talking on a television screen, you know, so that's kind of cool. I tell my kids all the time, you know, well, we didn't have internet and Google. You know, if we wanted to know something, we just hope we knew somebody smart, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Encyclopedias, man. You know how many homework assignments I did with trusted encyclopedias? Like, people used to, selling encyclopedias door to door was a job. you hear how crazy that? That was a legit job and a hustle that people went outside door to door. I'm like, hey, would you like to buy some encyclopedias? Do you have kids? Yeah. Kids, do y'all need us? Yes, Dad. You imagine doing that now. They'll look at you like you're crazy.
Now, you remember, what was that commercial? It was like the Encyclopedia Britannica or...
Yes.
Remember them things, man? The kids in Safari Hat. I always wanted that crap. And knowing I would have probably never learned anything and never read them. But,
Had them, man. My mom and dad got hustled into buying that. They also bought a vacuum cleaner, Kirby. You know, they must send out a mailing list and say, hey, these people right here will buy stuff. And I did a couple. And the thing is, when my mom and dad bought those encyclopedias, probably about 3 years later, 4 years later, the internet was starting to just about get around and come out. Do you remember when text messaging became like a thing? Do you remember?
Yeah.
You remember it? I briefly remember it, man. It's like, boom, it was no text messaging.
It was like it snuck up. It was almost snuck up on you. Because to me, and even to this day, even though I text people, but even to this day, if I've got a lot to say, I'm like, man, let me just call you real quick, dude. I could tell you so much quicker.
So much quicker, man. And I remember, like, oh, man, it was probably, what you want to say, about 15, no, longer than that, about 15 to 17 years ago when text messaging really started coming around, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 17 years ago, man. And I remember the first time when someone texted me, and I didn't even know you could do it yet. That's how new it was. I was like, dude, what is this? And I was like, oh, it's a text message. And I was like, okay, you can write back to people like that. And now it's crazy.
But you know, and also here's the other crazy thing is you know how you talked about how, like, you know, people come door to door selling you vacuum cleaners and encyclopedias. And you know, it was always a little intrusive if you went and knocked on somebody's door without being invited.
Right.
Now, if you call somebody, they're like, man, what's the matter with you? You know?
Hey, it's funny you say that because I do that. I'm like, why is this person calling and then text me to see if I was free first? This is weird. Like, why would you do that? And like, in actuality, I guess I'm the weird person because you should be able to call people with... You know, you should have to announce, hey, Danny, what's going on? Can I call you in 5 minutes? Like, I don't feel like it, Brandon. No.
Right? I mean, that's what I'll do before I call somebody. I tell, hey, man, you got a second? You want to talk? You know?
Man, no, that is, that's crazy. I know I heard somebody saying like, you know, they answer all their phone calls because it was like, you remember, you used to do that. But now you don't do it. You don't answer all your phone calls.
You remember how they blocked the call back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. You just take the phone off the hook.
All of a sudden you hear,
Listen, when I used to get in trouble at school and the principal would give me a warning, like, I'm going to call your mom. I was like, no, you're not, because the phone not going to be on the hook. And my mom and dad had two phones. So the one by their bedroom, they would never pay as much attention. So I would just pick it up just a little bit and leave it off the hook. And man, you know how hard that was to do for 2 days in a row. And I'm like, we ain't got no phone calls all day. And then finally, she's like, that's somebody, like, you who left the phone off the hook in the back? You know, I was like, I don't know, mom and dad. That's crazy.
See, we had to be creative, man. We had to get creative. We did.
Yeah, man. Back then.
Oh man, I don't know, man. I'm like I said, I'm trying to stay young, but that old man creeping in a little bit, and I miss one of them old days. I do think a lot.
Well, it makes sense now, man. I said, like, the older I get, the more I realize why I hear older people say stuff like, oh, I missed my generation because we could do this. Oh, we could do that. And it makes, I mean, for example, man, like, some of the things now that people were saying is bullying, to me, it was just playing the dozens, and it was everyday things. You know, like, I had a guy in my classroom when I was in fourth grade. I still remember him and I are friends now, but he would literally fight me 3 to 4 times a week. He'd be like, hey, at recess, we're going to fight. I was like, why? We just did that yesterday. Do we have to do it again? Now they would be considered bullying. You know, I remember getting on the bus one day. I rode the bus over my cousin's house. All the girls liked my cousin. They thought he was super attractive. I got on the bus and it's like, ew, you brought the ugly one. I was like, oh, dang, that's bad. So, but I didn't think y'all got bullied. I just thought I was the ugly one. I was like, yeah, you look better than me. So that's, you know, in case I was wondering, now I know. And I went to the back of the bus and I, you know, that was the end of it. I knew if I rode that bus, I was going to hear it. But now if you do that to a kid, hey, everybody getting in trouble. The parents getting locked up, the kids get suspended, the bus driver may get fired. Why'd you let them say that about them? So, like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know it. Changed on
them. I'm 100%. Okay. Like, I don't want to. We had a different type of a bully, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And let me ask you this, because I'm starting to begin to wonder about this. Like, me and you growing up, we had confrontation with other kids, yep. You know, our bullies wanted to fight. So you had to fight a bully. You had to pop right in his mouth, you know, you had to stand up for yourself.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, you have a younger generation who have never been punched in the mouth. Have never had any consequences for their words or their actions.
So they get more and more flippity and say stuff a whole lot more easier. And my grandma used to say, you can always tell how somebody talk if they've had their britches turned the right way. You know, because somebody say, oh, I ain't scared. This ain't scary. So they just somebody who ain't had their britches turned the right way by a fight or a whipping or whatever. And yeah, no, it's some of the, man, like I'll just be listening. I'm like, dude, I would never say that because it's only... Yeah. It's so much stuff you can say, and it's a level. Like, okay, once I say this, I have to be ready to fight, you know? And yeah. fighting wasn't as bad back then as it is now. And I'm not even talking about the guns and stuff. It was like, you know, if you said this, you got in a fight, and then if you beat me up, we'll be right back friends later on that day. But I know I was like, Brandon, don't say this, or you know you're going to have to fight, Danny. I say it, boom, all right, we're fighting, and I know why. But I squashed the fight, like, later on that day, the fight is gone.
Amen to that. I'm so blessed that I grew up in a neighborhood that we would fight on Monday and be friends on Tuesday.
Right, right, right.
And we watched out for each other, too. You didn't come rolling in our hood, you know, starting any trouble from somewhere else. No. We had each other's backs. And we had bullies. We had neighborhood bullies and that we couldn't stand that you'd get wedgies or you'd get, you know, right. You had to stand up for yourself.
Right. You just thought like literally you thought that was the way it go, you know? And I remember like my uncle telling me, like I'm sitting on a stoop and this guy went to school, he walks by, you know, he's talking junk. And my uncle's like, okay, sounds like he want to fight you. He's telling me he's going to beat me up. My uncle's like, I'm thinking I'm going to get in trouble. If I get in a fight, my uncle's like, why are you still sitting on the porch? Go fight. Like, he's just said three times he wants to fight you. We're at home. He's in front of your house. Go fight him. So you went out there and, you know, and you fought, you know, but like, it was no big deal back then. It was just as simple as like how you said, man, hey, let's go outside and throw the football around. You fight, you back the next day, man. And I don't know if it's us as parents that are trying too hard to make sure our kids don't go through anything, you know, because and at the same time, we're the one who's raising the kids and the people that's coming up and who haven't been in the fights, and we're overprotecting a little bit. And, you know, you got to watch it a little bit, but you want your kids to be as much like your generation. And at the same time, you're like, oh, well, I don't want you to do this part of it. And that's why, you know, it just keeps getting, you know, changing and changing and changing. We're not going to see it like how we had it, man. It's, man. Like, if you get in, I think my son got in a fight one time in school, and it wasn't even that bad. Him and the kid just pushing each other. I don't call that a fight, you know.
No.
But then he got suspended for 2 weeks of school, and they said next time he was going to jail. I was like, for a fight?
You know, going to jail.
Yeah, in ninth grade, man, I was like, for a fight? I was like, we used to get in fights, get brought to the office, got a paddle. We got a paddle. I remember the paddling. We got a paddle, bam, 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 three licks. go back. You don't want to fight no more for a while. You was good.
You know? Yeah, see, I mean, it's so different. And you're right, though, because you do want better for your kids. You want mm-hmm. you should want your kids to have it better than what you had. Absolutely. I love my kids, you know, and I want them to have, you know, the best they can have it. Now, I have taught my daughter about, you know, the cyberbullying thing. She understands mm-hmm. that people will run their mouth, you know, behind a screen, that they'll say things that they won't say to your face.
Right.
And also that, you know, as well as I do, haters, if you've got some haters and if you're doing something right, you're definitely going to have some haters.
You're going to have some. Absolutely.
100%. But those people hate themselves more than they hate anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how I've taught her how to deal with that.
Yeah. And it's crazy, like how you said, because the funny thing is, like, someone could be saying something to your daughter or my daughter, and they get the ups on them and say something back. Then they get in trouble for it. So before, the teachers would be just like, oh, yeah, well, you asked for it. You were picking at them, teasing them. So no wonder they finally flew off the helmet and said something back. But, yeah, no, man, it's so different, man.
Which, you know, what's going to be funny, though, is, like, one day, like, when me and you are, like, old and – we're going to get to see this other generation, like our grandkids, our great-grandkid generation, and see how crazy they are and see how much they drive our kids crazy. So,
I'm ready. I'm ready for that, man. Cause like I said, it's only going to change more and more. Like I can't even be mad or laughing anymore. I seen that thing that says like, hey, you guys do realize that you're the ones raising us. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Well, I tell you what, Brandon, we are moving right along here on the Abracadam podcast, and every Abracadam podcast, man, I gotta do a magic trick.
Okay.
So here we go. I'm gonna do a magic trick. I'm gonna try to do some mind reading. Okay. All right. I'm gonna try to do some mind reading. So here we go. Hold on. Now, granted, they can't see this, so they're just gonna have to hear this.
Okay.
All right. I'm holding up some cards. I want you just to think of one of these cards. Don't name it. Just think of it. You got one?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. We're going to try. I'm going to give it a little shuffle. Mix it up here.
All right.
I'm going to hold the deck of cards up here to where you can see it.
Okay.
I'm going to try to cut the deck. All right, I think I got it. I'm obligated.
Okay.
Now I have cut the deck right here.
Okay. Right.
Now, in a loud voice, what is the card you're just thinking of?
All right, it's Jack of Clubs.
The Jack of Clubs.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. I said I cut the deck to one card.
Yeah.
Right here, one card.
Yeah. That's it. Danny, now you know magic scares black people. I didn't know you didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know that freaks us out, man. You can't freak in front of black people because things we can't explain freaks us out. Now I won't be able to sleep tonight. Thank you, man.
You know what, man? I say this all the time. Really, I do. But I love doing magic for black people, especially in black audiences. I've done shows where it's been all like, One of the funnest shows I ever did was for the Southern Baptist convention.
And, yeah.
You know, this was all black folks from Alabama and Georgia. They all came up. And, man, that was one of the best shows. And I always tell people, too, I'm like, you know, when you do a black room, you know, and if you kill in a black room, you're going to know you killed in a black.
You're going to know it. Oh, yeah. So, they're going to tell you. Yeah, definitely. You're going to know it real fast.
That was just one of the funnest shows. And then afterwards, me being the only pasty white fella for forever, I even got to do a Soul Train. So that was that was so fun, man.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one, man. Like I like doing the black rooms too, man, which is so funny because it's a whole different way of coming. You're talking about black people do not give you a long period of time to be funny. You do not. You talking about not letting you ease into some jokes? You better
come. You better get to it.
You better get to it. Hurry it up, or somebody in the audience is gonna say, "Get off the stage. I'm funnier than him." And it's gonna hurt your feelings real quick.
And you know, I think it's just there's that history there of the you know, I guess the black nightclubs and stuff and entertainment mm-hmm. was so. Mm-hmm. So special, I guess, in the black culture in America, you know?
Yeah.
So it there was no room for mediocrity.
Yeah. No, yeah, man. Absolutely, man. I know like any if when I do shows, I do mixed crowds, but when I do a black crowd, I'm like, man, I'm so glad because I know when I kill, like you said, you know when you kill it. And I'm usually I'm a energetic comic, but I take it up even another notch to get more energy to it. I'm usually tired after those shows because ain't no sir, they are not going to wait.
You gotta bring it.
Heavy, you better bring it or they will turn their head, order some wings, look at their phones. They won't be paying you any attention is what I'm getting at.
That's true. You gotta bring it. Well, let me ask you this before we get out of here. Okay. Especially comics. It, I always got to ask because we have all got these stories. Mm-hmm. Brandon Rainwater, let's hear a hell gig story.
Okay. the first one that I ever had, I went to a club in Atlanta, just so happened to be an all black club. And they say, hey, man, I was at a comedy convention thing and I was just now trying to learn how to write stuff better and all this. They said, hey, won't you guys come over here? I need a couple comics for the night. We'll pay for your food. Come up, pick three of us out. I was like, yeah, that's dope. So I get to the club and I didn't know that they were putting us up before they put up the headline and the feature. And it's like, all right, guys, we always like to give some comics a chance to see how funny they are before we bring up the people. Now I'm gonna tell you, this is the MC. Now I'm gonna tell y'all, we don't boo nobody here, okay? We don't boo nobody. But if we don't like them, we will shake our keys and tell them to get in their car, okay? So y'all be ready. If you don't like them, shake your keys at them. Go ahead and pull your keys out, have them ready. So they pull the keys out and they're shaking them, having them ready. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're encouraging us before we get on stage, man. I was like, oh my goodness. So the host gets up there, he does his thing, walks off stage. He's like, all right, y'all. He walks back behind the curtain. Y'all put your hands together for Brandon something. Y'all put your hand, Brandon something. Put your hands together for him. I come on stage, man, and no joke, I was maybe 20 seconds into my set, and they said, boo, get him off stage. Somebody, yeah, get the keys out. And everybody started shaking their keys at me. I go to walk off the stage. I go to dap the MC up because I'm like, oh, man, oh, well, it wasn't my day. He's like, nope. I don't want that on me. Keep it moving. I was like, oh my gosh. And that was bad enough, you would think. The guy I was with, we rolled down there together. He gets up on stage and kills it because they just wanted to boo somebody off. And I was the first sacrificial lamb, man. And it was, I was like, I'm trying to explain to him. I was like, dude, I didn't even say anything for him to boo. I was like, right? I barely had got past my name. I was like, yeah, man, I'm Brandon Rainwater, man. And you know, boo, get him off stage. I was like, nah, man, y'all ain't gonna boo me. They're like, you don't tell us what we ain't gonna do. And they started shaking their keys. So like, have you ever heard a house full of people shaking their keys at you, man? You know how much noise and how embarrassing that is. And I had to wait for my, and then I had to sit, my seat was at the front row. So I had to watch. And the feature came out, and he was like, what that dude with that who got keys? And we still here? You need a ride? Get out of here. Did we tell you to leave? I was like, bro, I just want to tell some jokes, man. So that was probably the worst time, man. It took me like 2 years before I went back to that club. And I went back to that club 2 years later and had to prove to myself that it was not me. And I killed it that time. And I told him, I was like, I just want to let y'all know, the first time I came here, you, Mr. MC, you had him key me. He was like, man, I'll key everybody the first time. I'm sorry.
That's crazy. That was, keys, man.
Got keys shaking at me, man. Yeah, it was, that was awful. And that's by far, like I've had rooms where I've been to and they weren't expecting comedy, so they're talking, they're not paying attention. But to be up there, and this was it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and it's like 300 people in the audience, and they're like, shaking the keys, man. Get off the stage, man. Get off the stage. And I'm not exaggerating when I said I was about 10 to 20 seconds in. So I'm not even starting yet. You know, they didn't care. They was like, nah, bro, he said we can shake keys. We finna get you off the stage, see what the next person is. We don't like the way you dressed or something.
God, that's crazy, dude. That's the first time I've ever heard of shaking keys. That's nuts.
I hope no one else ever had to experience it, man. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, so where can people follow you on TikTok, social media, any upcoming shows, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, man, you can follow me on all social media platforms. It's just simply my name, Brandon Rainwater, whether it's on TikTok, on Instagram, Facebook, just Brandon Rainwater. You may have to throw an underscore in the middle between Brandon and Rainwater on TikTok. I have shows coming up. My next show is going to be in Greenville on Valentine's Day weekend. I'm going to be featuring with very hilarious Ginger Billy. We're going to be on that show. So we got 6 shows that week. So you guys can check me out then. But I always got something coming up, man. I'm, like I said, I've been fortunate this year. I always got something coming up.
Well, that's awesome, Brandon. And hey, man, I really enjoyed this conversation. You are a fantastic comic, funny guy. And thank you for coming on to Abracadam.
All right, man. Appreciate you, man. Look forward to seeing and working with you again, man.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Abracadam podcast with Brandon Rainwater. He's a very funny stand-up comic. And if you guys do not follow his TikTok channel, you definitely want to do so because you will laugh your butt off. I promise. Good stuff on TikTok. Guys, thank you for following and subscribing to the Abracadam podcast. Please continue to let your friends know. Be sure to give us a review. I'd love to hear your feedback. And like always, Abracadamans, thank you for listening.